Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're looking for help in scaling your e-commerce business or dropshipping business, then just go to ecommercescalingsecrets.com and fill out the form, and we'll see exactly how we can help you to take your business to the next level. Thank you. Hey guys, in this video, I want to study from A to Z, the whole case study of scaling brand new dropshipping store from zero. You can see here, like, there were no sales at all. I mean, $300 a month in February here, but here is basically, we scaled it to over $1 million per month. So overall, it has generated over eight figures in sales. Let me just refresh this for you guys. And this is what I want to show you. I want to show you exactly how I did it from initial high level thinking. And guys, I mean, this video will probably be most applicable to people who are already doing some numbers, you know, at least like $1,000, a few thousand dollars a day, because a lot of the ideas, a lot of the things are more like higher level. But I think everyone will benefit from this video. So let's just dive right into it. So from zero to eight figures in 12 months, scaling Facebook ads. And this is dropshipping store, by the way. So dropshipping, but I'll tell you the major adjustment that we have made to make it consistent, right? Not a lot of people, I mean, you can see some YouTubers like on YouTube, they do like $100,000 with a product and then they get their ad account shut down, or like they have their business manager shut down, or they have their whole business goes down, or they PayPal or Stripe. All of that is nonsense, right? Because you don't want to build a business that is, you know, so vulnerable to all of those suggestions. I want to show you exactly how to build something that is, even if you dropship, but it's decent customer experience, so you don't have those issues. Strategy, right? So overall strategy here is, guys, it's basically the niche stores that are scaled from one product to several products. And additional to that, there's like certain funnels that I want to show you. And by the way, guys, if you want the funnel template, just comment funnel below and we'll send it to you. Just comment the funnel below and I'll send you the funnel template that we have used to scale this store, that helped us tremendously to scale this store. So I want to show you the overall strategy. Overall, when researching, overall, when looking for products, overall, when looking for the ideas on what to sell, you know, a lot of people were just like, hey, what other people are drop shipping, right? And I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. And they just copy or tweak it or maybe put some spin on it. For me, I like to be more kind of like non-standard. I don't like to go like where everyone goes. So where I go oftentimes is Inc. 500 or Inc. 5000. So this is Inc. 5000 list. The reason why this is awesome, because these are all like real companies that have grown substantially, right? So there is a percentage of growth that these companies have experienced, right? So it shows you that there is a particular like growth that is available to the certain niche, right? There's certain industries. So for example, like this company, right? So this company is, it's called Sassy Jones, right? And this company is selling the products, right? So their target market is, so if you look at on Inc. 5000 here, it says focus on its target market of black women, which is awesome, right? So pretty much they're selling probably the same products or very similar products that you could find, you know, in other places, but their marketing and everything is specifically aligned with black ladies. And so that just gives you so much perspective, right? Because anyone can sell something, right? But if you take something that's already selling, right, whether it's drop shipping, whether it's a brand, you know there's demand, you know there's validation, but you just put that twist on it, right? Like, hey, all of these guys are selling to everyone and we'll now be just selling to, let's say, you know, so these guys are black ladies, right? Or we will be selling it to only like single moms, or we'll be selling it only to guys who live in big cities, right? So you identify that niche market and that allows your marketing to be overall like more precise, right? Because your messaging can be now more precise. If you have like more generic approach, which a lot of people do, if it hits, it hits, right? It's awesome if it hits. But if it doesn't, then you just like, you don't know what worked, what didn't, right? Because we're going too broad. And so our approach is going more niche, right? Identifying the specific segment of the market that we want to go after, right? And this is like, it's like business one-on-one, right? Like it's you know, for example, even PayPal initially, right, as a business. Now it's humongous fucking business serving everyone. But at the beginning, it was a business that was serving the eBay sellers, right? They were trying all kind of stuff. They're trying all kind of Like, let me just show you guys. He basically explains how the PayPal, right, initially it was like all over the place. It was like, you know, for everyone, right? But then they just like, you can see in November 1999, our customer service rep forwarded me an email from eBay Power Seller. The eBay seller had turned the PayPal logo into nice looking button for her auctions and was asking our permission to use it. Ironically, I was forwarded the message not for the product use, but was temporarily handling company legal affairs, stuff like that. Basically, anyway, they just like figured out that, hey, you know, what if you can see like they just decided, what if like there is a market, right? They validated like there was this market of power sellers, people who were doing good numbers on eBay, right? That they just started using PayPal. They just focus on that market. What if we get like initially, you know, like you can see they had like initially 10,000 users, but then by the end of January 20,000, they hit 100,000 users. Just focus on that one segment. Again, a lot of people, they just like focus on a lot of different things, and they're trying to like to appeal to everyone. They try to appeal to this market, trying to appeal to this market. And our approach is more niche, and that's why I think this is successful. And this is the approach that we have. This is just one of our stores, but this is the approach that we have in each and every one of our stores. And those are doing, you know, 7-8 figures per year. So if you want to build like 7 or 8 figure consistent business, then one of the probably adjustment that you have to make is that you have to identify the niche that you want to go after, right? So this is what I would recommend, guys. We sell plenty of different products. So some products $25, some product $100. All of them have good margins. So margins are from 60 to 82%. On average, the AOV is like $40+, which is not the best, but overall the profitability is approximately 30%. So that's pretty good. It solves a wide problem. Skincare, right? But niche approach. Again, niche approach. We identified the segment of the market that was specifically looking for the solution. So the validated demand, we just took it more niche, and you can just take it more niche, right? If you have the validated demand in a certain market, or you add your spin to it. Okay, this is only for like, this is, let's say this is tacos, like the first like organic tacos, right? The first like organically made, I don't know, sunglasses, right? Sunglasses made from like recycled, I don't know, unicorns, you know, whatever, like just identifying that one thing, that how your product, at the end of the day, it's how your product differentiates from other products in the marketplace. Because you're not, you and me, and like no one is existing in this kind of like vacuum, right? We are all existing in the market where there's a lot of competition, there are a lot of different things going on at any given point. And if we just do exactly the same thing that everyone else, and we'll be just like not visible. Right, so this is what I would recommend, guys. So once we've had the first product introduced, other products were designed for upselling. So this is another important thing, is that a lot of people, there's this concept one product store, which is awesome. A lot of people are fucking destroying it with that concept, right? And they're doing very well. Some people scale to 6-7 figures, but very rarely that you will scale one product to 8 figures. Very, very rarely. Right, so you have to introduce other products. It has to be like a niche store, right? So you have one product, okay, that's awesome, but then like another product could be relevant that increases your margins, another product. That's why we have range of products, 25 to 140, some more expensive, some cheaper, right? And so this is what I would recommend for you guys. So renamed, branded, I mean, that's a must, so you can compare it to other products. Modified products as well. So once you have the product, once you have the proof of concept with the product, then, and you have some capital as well, then you can modify a product, right? So for example, you get a lot of complaints from customers. Hey, I mean, this thing just like tears apart, like after like 10 uses, right? Can you fix it? Yes, we can. Right, so then you basically fix it, and then you make your product different from everything else in the market. Then you can use that message in your market that this is new version of the product, or this product is improved. This is nothing like, there's nothing like that in the market. So overall approach is get fucked, right? I'll explain in a second. So we take with every single store, with every single business that we have, we take get fucked approach, which means just identifying where you can get fucked, you know, as a entrepreneur, you know, as a drop shipper, if you drop shipping or whatever, you know, it's as an entrepreneur, because even if you have like very like custom product brand shipping very fast, you can still get fucked, right? It's so
Our approach is to have multiple processing options, right? So at any given point, something happens with one, we can quickly replace to another one. The same with team building. So we are building the internal procedure. So in case something happens to one person, then we can transition to another person. The same goes with suppliers. So we work with multiple suppliers. If something happens to one supplier, we can quickly replace it with another supplier. So this is basically that approach. And obviously with ad accounts, guys, and if you're looking to build the infrastructure of ad accounts, because we haven't scaled this, all of this through like one ad account, we always want to be on the safer side, because ad accounts get shut down, business managers get shut down. So you guys, just if you are looking for help with streamlining that and just putting the infrastructure of the ad accounts in place, there should be a link below. Just book a call with my team and we'll see how to help you out. This is, you know, this is just too valuable to give away for free, you know, that whole solution, but we'll see how we can help you out. Maybe we can share the exact framework so you can copy paste it into your business. Wow fact, so instant effect from the product. I mean, that's, we wanna sell the product there. Ideally, the people that use the product, they should see the effects immediately. That's not always possible, but this is ideally what we're looking for. So this is overall like strategy, you know, high level overview. Again, you can see product market fit, identifying that segment of the market that would want to buy your product. So this is another one. So if we go through Inc. 5000 link, which is very interesting. I mean, this company is like, this company, a lot of you guys will probably recognize, right? Because this company is Microderm GLO, right? Now, that should probably remind you something, right? That should probably remind you the poor vacuum cleaner that every single, like, probably every single dropshipper was selling, right? Now, these people have taken this, like, a little bit just farther, right? They invested something in the product development. The product is slightly different. Probably can be sourced on Alibaba, as is, as it looks here. $89, tremendous fucking margins. Like, not $29, not $20, right? But very good margins here, and also they selling some, you can see the creams and serums and stuff like this, which also it looks like the product can be stored. They just put their logo on it and they sell it. Nevertheless, you know, the company is now producing pretty good volume. Doesn't say the revenue here, but it says they are they have like 4,000% growth in the last. This is quite substantial growth. So it doesn't say what revenue numbers, but definitely it's like a seven-figure business. Inc. 5000 now has a minimal like requirement of like $2 million, I guess, to get just to get on the list. So these are all like seven-figure companies that have identified their niche and just, you know, just like digging, getting more momentum within that niche. So this is, guys, I consider that the best approach to overall like building the business, because if you go like into very like humongous markets and you don't have like kind of like differentiation strategy, then you would just most likely get destroyed, unless you have the lowest price point. So price point could be your advantage, right, in those massive markets. Here we're back, right? So basically, get fucked. That approach is like you identified the things where things can go wrong, right? And a lot of you, if you've done like 6-7 figures, like doing dropshipping or any other business, you probably know what can go wrong. Your ad accounts, your business managers, your processing, all of those things, right? So you want to make sure that you have those in place.
Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're looking for help in scaling your e-commerce business or dropshipping business, then just go to ecommercescalingsecrets.com, ecommercescalingsecrets.com, and fill up the form, and we'll see exactly how we can help you to take your business to the next level. Thank you.
So store and funnel, guys, I mean, we use these cascade teams. So a lot of people obsess about the team, what team are you using? I know people that have done like 8 figures utilizing like free Shopify teams like Brooklyn and Debut. So it doesn't matter that much. What matters is more kind of like how you structure everything. Do you provide your potential customers enough information to make a purchase decision? And so Cascade is a pretty good team with good support. You can see have very good reviews. They don't know that I'm promoting it. I'm not promoting it because they paid me or I get like incentivized in any way, but just because it's a good team that I would recommend for you guys, and their support is pretty good. Urgency and timers, we use pretty extensively, I would say. People say it's spammy, but it works. You know, giving people some incentive, giving people some reason to act now works. So even if it's spammy, but it's more efficient, I would recommend you guys use it. So obviously test it out. Trust badges is same as with trust badges, right? Like, even if it's spammy, if it looks spammy, but if it works, that's the most important thing in business, right? Like, we have all of our opinions, like what works and what doesn't, and that's typically what kills businesses, right? Like, because, oh, this works, we need to do it. But it doesn't work, it doesn't sell. Anyway, you know, it must sell. I like this product, then people must like it, right? So that's how a lot of entrepreneurs approach it. We got a lot of ideas from Packamas. So this is the website created by Oliver from Landing Page Guys. These guys are awesome. They have like a very, you know, in terms of the conversion, like trying people to making that decision. You can see also incentivizing people to add more products to the car. So pushing both like AOV and the conversion rate up. A lot of the UGC, different avatars here, you can see like young lady, young man, older lady, there's another professional here probably, two ladies. And so kind of like covering different avatars, like in the context, how different people are using the product. So that's, we found that also to be working very well, kind of like covering all of these different avatars that we want to cover. So free gift with every purchase. So Oliver has here, it's also the free red mask with every order over 20 pounds, which is awesome. So pushing that average order value up. Influencer made photos in product description. So products in the context, right? Like showing how the product is actually used, showing how the product actually is, you know, in the context of use. That's very, very helpful for the conversion. You just see throughout the website, in-cart upsell and vitals upsells, right? So those are, so in-cart upsell would appear once you add product to the cart. So here it would appear. So it's good, it's very like simple. We have also reconvert, and we have, I guess the better cart is the solution that we use for this one specifically. So this is basically how we structured the upsell process. There are three upsells. We're trying to get 15% bump in average order value from the upsells, right? So after someone purchasing, we have three upsells, and our goal is to get them to 15%. So if we can get that we have that bump in profitability that we can use to profitably scale with ads. So this is, you know, short, like the store and funnel, you can see there's nothing complex about it. It's more, a lot of these things are common sense, right? And probably there are different approaches. I mean, our conversion rate is only like 3%. I know people that are doing like 5, 7%, 8%. We manage somehow to, you know, to be profitable with 3%. So that's the most important thing that we can have. So Facebook ads testing phase. Let me show you guys inside of the ad account. This is the data, one of the ad accounts. Again, we use this approach where we diversify through different ad accounts. So let me just refresh this for a second. Still have access to the ad account. And so you can see here, so we spent $88,000 in this particular ad account and generated 240, which is pretty good. 4.97 click-through rate link, close to 3%, which is ideally where we want to be. It's not the most important thing, but this is where we are trying to be, you know, in terms of numbers, right? So this is numbers on in the last 30 days with this particular ad account. We diversified to different ad accounts. We never want to be dependent just on one ad account, because if it goes down, then the whole business goes down, right? And we don't want that. That's how we achieve that more, you know, predictability, and we achieve that more of the consistency and peace of mind while we are scaling up. So we started initially with like wide interest, testing, skincare, health and fitness, celebrities in the niche, targeting those interests, metrics on ads versus funnel side. So first ads and then funnel. We wanna see if whether the ads resonate with the audience. So click-through rate needs to be decent, right? So once we achieve like decent click-through rate, ideally about 3% click-through rate link unique, then we look at the funnel, like whether people add to cart, whether people just a common cheat sheet or a common KPI, guys, below, so I can share with you the KPI cheat sheet that we use to optimize and specific metrics that we use to optimize throughout the whole funnel. So we look at the metrics on the ad sites. On the ad side, for example, the click-through rate, the cost per click, you know, those, like if we have $5 cost per click, then probably something is off. If we have like 0.01% click-through rate link unique, then probably something is off on the ad side. So make sure we sort the ads first, make sure that the content on ads is actually good, and then we get into the funnel, right? So we tested four angles to start. We always use this approach where we're utilizing 4 to 5 angles to start. And we're using stats and just common sense. you know, what kind of like angles people would resonate with. We do a lot of competitive research on Amazon, what angles and what specific problems product can solve for people that would actually matter to them that we can use in the ads. And so I have this video, like 7 different angles that you can check, 7 angles that I presented for 3,000 people in Affiliate World Asia conference. So you guys can find it on my YouTube channel, by the way. So once found the angle that was resonating with Asset 15 creatives and what worked for us in this case, like UGC, like in-the-face content, utilizing attractive people, you know, showing the product, avatar-related photos, testimonials addressing difference from competition. For example, I've tried this, this, and this, but this is by far the best solution, right? Because probably portion of the people that will buy from you will be people who've tried different things. So if you're like in skincare, probably they've tried like all of the fucking brands. They tried like all of the different devices, right? They've tried different things. And so now if you kind of like, if you talk to that market, then you have to say that your solution is best. But if you say it in your words, it's not as effective as saying it from customer words. So if you have testimonials of customers saying, hey, this product is actually better than, you know, these other products that we have tried, then that should work very well for your market. And with winning angles, we've tested hundreds of variations of content. I'll cover, or you should find on my channel, the specifically about the content, how we structured the content production in our business. You can find it in my YouTube videos. So ads testing process, right? So straight from day one, optimization for purchase. People do this like PPE, people do this like add to cart, people do initial checkout. This is all garbage. I mean, this will give you like low quality traffic. So we always do the safe ads on the site as well. So those are PPE likes and reach, like a few dollars a day, but this helps a lot with generating, this helps a lot with like generating engagement and positive engagement, especially if you're like skincare, beauty, weight loss, especially if you're in those niches. So once we found the winning ad, we tested it with 10 more wide interest to find more winning audiences and get initial scale, right? So you can scale to some extent with one winning ad. This is what a lot of people do. I like to expand that like one winning ad as much as possible, but at the same time, continue testing, right? So on any given week, we would test like 10 different creatives, right? We test 10 different creatives to get this like more momentum and to get more reach to the audiences that we have, and also to just to scale that initial momentum. So then I sent second best performing ad through the same process. So we scale those with, and we're adding those into the ad sets that have performed very well, right? So this way we have multiple ads running against the same audiences, right? But then we let Facebook figure it out, you know, and find out what's actually working the best. My winning video ad framework. So product demo by 3 influencers compiled into fast rolling intro. That's approximately like 10 seconds. Let me show you examples, guys. So here, right? Like for example, this is very fast, right? Like demonstration of the product, right? You can do it with one person. You can see multiple persons are in here, right? So this is the approach that also works for us. So this is another person here. This is another person here. Like step by step, right? So another person here, right? So compilation of the testimonials, compilations of the UGC, right? So this is the framework that works amazingly for this company. It seems like they have like very big team here and they're scaling hard, and the same approach has worked well for us. So captions, right? So you've seen like in this videos as well, like captions to describe the problem and solution the product provides. You can use rev.com or you can do it like manually. After influencers, we typically switch to the main demonstrations video using YouTube videos and our own footage with the main benefit text. Like how to use the product, you can see here as well how they do it. Basically, they explain how the product works.
A breakage in my hair.
Right, so you can see the text, right? Because a lot of people are not watching with sound, right? So this actually helps a lot with the, you know, kind of like explanation, getting the benefits explained. Aim for above average engagement, conversion, and quality. Otherwise, it won't work on a scale. Let me show you guys. So you can see here, for example, some of the ads here, right? I mean, not every second, just loads forever because there's so much data, but you can see average, above average, average, above average, right? Like most of them are average or above average. This is what's very important to keep in mind for you guys, so you are able to scale profitably, right? Some of them are like below average, but like a lot of them, and they are specifically that perform very well, they're like average or above average. This is what you need to have in place in order to get consistent results. So scaling Facebook ads, so winning interest and lookalike assets have been duplicated into CBOs. CBOs we keep very simple. They have 3 to 5 assets, sometimes even one. We optimize and kill low performance. We give them like 1x, 2x max CPA. Scaling with broad audiences as well. Zero targeting whatsoever. Like it's just age, gender, country. Use filtering on Facebook page to reduce number of bad comments. A list is below, guys. For example, if you want to get that list, then just copy it from the, there should be a link below. We used automated rules and team to control the ad spend and kill unprofitable ads. Now, this stuff, like, I haven't run myself. Like, the ads and everything, like, I haven't run myself. I observed, I give my team feedback, but that was all done by my team. You know, I'm just communicating everything that we have done so far, but I haven't been, you know, like, tweaking the ads and stuff. This has been my team, and they're amazing. So, that helped to maintain ROAS, right? The way I think about it, you know, it's basically, if you have, for example, right, so you have on Facebook, right, that's why a lot of people are not profitable. So on Facebook, you always have good ads and you have bad ads, right? You have good ads and bad ads. You have good campaigns, bad campaigns, right? So your profitability, right, your profitability will depend on how, not only like whether you find the winning ads, winning angles, winning creatives, but also whether you shut down the stuff that is not good. Right, so if you let like your bad ads run and overspend, then all your overall like profitability will be hurt, right? Like, so this is what's very important to keep in mind. So you have to establish clear KPIs and be like number driven. Like a lot of people would do this, like, hey, I have this like ad and I like it, and we just like custom ad, and it's like, and it, we paid for it and it should work properly, but then it doesn't work, and sometimes it doesn't work, you know. Sometimes you spend money on content. We pay people, we pay influencers, we pay, you know, studios to create like custom content, it doesn't work. So you have to be very like numbers driven, right? Because if you don't have like clear KPIs, like when to shut down, okay? So if it's not, if you don't get sales like till this point, you shut it down, right? If you don't get, let's say, add to cars like till this point, you shut it down. If your like cost per link click is like $5, $7, you shut it down. So you have to have those clear KPIs on when to shut down your stuff if it's not good. So that's what helps tremendously with scaling, right? So we scaled mostly horizontally, but testing new interests, lookalikes, and combinations with high budgets, $300 per campaign or ads. So that's ideally where I want to be. Want to have as little number of campaigns and as little number of ads as possible, and just like have Facebook work with higher budgets. High budgets allow you for more consistency. A lot of people say like, hey, my Facebook ads performance is fluctuating, or my ads are not consistent. 90% of times it's because your budgets are just too low, right? So the way it works, like you would need to have, I guess Facebook wants like 50 conversions per week, right? So it means like 7 conversions approximately per day, right? So let's say if your target CPA is, let's say $20, right? So then your budget would need to be at least like 7 multiplied by 20. It's like $100 a day. A lot of people would run like $10 ad set, and then they would say, hey, why my stuff is not consistent? Because it just doesn't have enough data, right? And someone like, let's say you have like $10 per ad set and I have, let's say $200 per ad set, I'll just trump you in the auctions, right? I'll just like, I can like have very similar ads, very similar performance on my ad side, but then Facebook looks at me and say, hey, this guy is like willing to spend some money, and this guy is just very conservative. Let's just like give more traffic to this guy because he'll spend more money, he'll get more customers, and more likely he'll spend even more money with us, right? And he'll be like, you know, he will drive our stock fucking up, you know, even higher. So because we generate so much revenue from the advertiser. So this is what important to keep in mind, guys. You know, and a lot of this, like a lot of the content on YouTube here is like very fucking delusional, right? These people would teach you to do like $5 ad sets. $5 ad sets is like, I mean, you can test something, of course, but like, it's not scalable. How on earth, like, can you scale with $5 assets? There are people saying you're duplicating like 100 times, you're winning like $5 assets. This is garbage. This will get your ad account shut down and your profile disabled from the advertising, right? And especially with ad limitations, 250 ads per, you know, per ad account, like, that just like, that won't do any good for you, right? So make sure you constantly, as you scale, you try to work with higher and higher budgets, right? Now, there is like common sense in this, right? Because, I mean, ideally you would want to have like, let's say you want to spend like $5,000 a day, then you would just have like five assets at like $1,000, and that would be perfect setup. I love it. You know, I would love this setup. You know, I would love like one ad set at like $5,000 a day, one campaign, one ad set, and then one ad, and just like go like and sit on the beach. But that's not how it works, right? Because, you know, different accounts perform differently. So you would want to find the sweet spot. So for example, you test something like even with lower budgets, all right? So let's say 10, 20 bucks. Then you test new interest, let's say with 50 bucks, and it works well. Okay, so now you start with 50 as your initial starting point. Then you try like 100, right? Then you might try like 150 or 200. And so gradually get to the point where your overall structure of the account is very simple. And this is what I would recommend for you guys to kind of like that direction I would recommend you guys to move in, right? Obviously, all of those things lay in a very good foundation and good strategy. Again, how you're competing with other people, what's your competitive advantage, what's your niche market, what's your segment of the market that you want to penetrate, and that specifically will be where all of these like technical details will be built out on. So, scaled mostly horizontally by testing new interest lookalikes and combinations of high budgets. I'd probably shoot like this separate video on like maybe like very specific like percentages of the lookalikes that we've used and broad audiences, but I mean broad is like doesn't have any like settings, so it's pretty simple. 300 per campaign per asset, right? Like, so this per campaign or per assets, right? Depending whether it's like CBO or ABO. So the key to scaling is creatives. I keep repeating that because this is just so important, and I still see a lot of people are not taking advantage of it, right? So keep your video editor, whether you have him full time or you have him in like part time, you found him on Upwork, on Fiverr, you know, whatever. You wanna keep testing new variations of ads. So thumbnails and first 5 seconds are the easiest wins. Invest 10-20% of your profit into getting new creative, right? So let's say you make like $100,000 per month in profit. Invest like $10,000-$20,000 in the content. You know, invest at least like $5,000 in the content. That's the best investment you can make once you find a winner, because $1 that you invest into creative will easily give you like $10 or even $100 back if you're scaling. If that content is a winner, it will be generating you a lot of a positive return. Kill losers that are below your break-even point, assets within ABOs and CBOs, and duplicate winners. So duplicate, I found duplication works with more like bigger audiences, right? Because if your audiences are very small, let's say audience like 2 million people, and then you duplicate, then there'll be a lot of overlap. So duplication works the best if your audience is like 30, 50 million people, which is more likely the case if you're going broad with no targeting at all. So team building, right? Hiring VAs and help. You would need probably like a VAs is probably the first step, right? But we had like more comprehensive team here. Online jobs, PH and Upwork.com. Only hiring people with experience, so don't have to train them a lot, or at least, you know, people that have, you know, some of the positions we train from scratch in our company, but a lot of the things like video editing, I mean, you cannot train someone like video editing like fast, right? So that's why you would hire people with experience who already know what they need to know to help you out to scale your business. Working with multiple agents, China for all fulfillment purposes, shipping from US as well. We have support team members. So for example, if we have a question from a customer, from, you know, we respond very fast to all of the tickets. This is very important factor that, you know, a lot of people neglect. So if you will just build like an hierarchy, right? Like, let me just like build an hierarchy here. Support, right? So there are a few moving parts here. A few moving parts that you need to be in place, and if you want to scale like consistent business. Again, like, we're not talking about like six figures, like we're not talking about like seven figures, we're talking about like building 8-figure business, consistent business that you can scale like months over months, year over year, and then eventually you could sell it, right? So this is a business that you want to build. So a few moving parts, right? Support, right? Like, make sure that you support, like, you answering your support tickets, right? That's why you would have, in terms of your team members, you would need to have, you know, support team, and you would want to monitor them and see how they respond to customers, if they're not rude, if they're, you know, they're responding to customers politely, if they're responding fast, right? So this, make sure that this part is handled probably before anything else, right? Then overall, like, team video editing. So that's on the marketing side. You would want to hire someone like part-time, right? Or by project. And then eventually you want to move them into full-time, right? So for example, we have full-time video editors that help us with editing the content for the ads. And then we also source from some external sources. Then media buyer, right? So media buyer would be the person who's managing the ads, but also overseeing the whole process. Pretty much they'll become like a project manager eventually, because they'll be overseeing the video editor, they'll be overseeing the copywriter, they'll be overseeing the designer, right? They'll be overseeing the technical person. Like, if website doesn't convert, then media buyer would say, hey, let's fix this and this on the website, let's test this concept, right? So they'll be overseeing, and all of these people who start per project, right? If they're good, you would wanna get them full time, right? So we have all of these people you know, full time. So if you need this type of like talent, then you would want to, like, again, start by project. And then as you start generating profit from a business, just reinvest it back into the talent, reinvest it back into the content, reinvest it to the things that produce the best outcome. Don't spend it on expensive fucking cars. You know, that's what a lot of people do, but I know you won't do it. So that's awesome. Anyway, so this is basically the structure of the team. Obviously, there is some, the accounting. So you would have, you want to have your bookkeeping. Because, you know, paying suppliers, making sure that all of the invoices are matching, making sure that all of the orders, they don't overcharge you. With suppliers, it happens sometimes, you know, they'll overcharge you by mistake or not by mistake. So you'd want to keep an eye on it. And then generally, you want to have like chief operating officer, someone who's overseeing the whole operation, seeing how it can be streamlined, make sure that all of the main KPIs are met, that each of the person like knows exactly what to do. And over time, you might want to have the hiring assistant, or even like head of HR, right? So that person would be responsible for hiring. Depends how fast you can scale. Like, for example, to operate a business like this, you need like maybe like 10 people, like to operate like 8-figure business, right? If it's not very complex business, because if you do like a general store, like where you're testing like 50 products a day, or like 100 products a day, then probably you need like a lot of people, right? You can do higher numbers potentially, but your margins also will be slimmer. And so like the concept that we use, like niche store, right? Like we identify like certain niches that we go after. We have a limited number of SKUs. We don't overcomplicate stuff. That's why we're able to run it with a very like lean team, right? So once you have one of these teams, then you just build another team like this, right? So like typically like 6 people, that's ideal, like size of the team approximately, right? Like 6-7, like, because if team is like too big, then there's a lot of communication and there's like communication issues and stuff like that. So we prefer to have our teams smaller, right? So now you've built one team, now we can build another team like this, right? And basically that's how you can scale. That's how you can scale to multiple 8-figures a year just by having this very simple setup, right? For example, some of the guys in our e-commerce scaling secrets program, they're doing like $600,000-$800,000 per month. And for example, one person, and there's one, he has like one virtual assistant, and he's working with his supplier, right? Because his business is very simple. He is able to do $600,000-$800,000 per month in sales with like 25-30% profit, because he is able to, his model is so simple. Right, so this is basically the structure for the team that we have, that you can take something from and you can replicate it on your side. So guys, this is it. This is case study from 0 to 8 figures in 12 months. And I showed you some of the Facebook stuff. I showed you some of the logistics. I showed you some of the mindset, how we think, so you can replicate it on your side. If you're doing like 6-7 figures in sales, you want to take it to 8 figures, and you feel stuck and you need some feedback, you need some mentorship, then there should be a link below. Apply for our mentorship program. This is by far, you know, we have by far the best community of like 6, 7, 8-figure entrepreneurs that if you're just like in an environment, you'll learn so much and you'll scale so fast that I don't think there's like any other way. For me personally, I always use like, who can I learn from so I can get from point A to point B in the most efficient manner? So, but that's only for people who are already doing numbers. This is not for people who are starting out, right? If you're just starting out, use this video to just get initial momentum. If you have any questions, drop me them in the comments and join also one of our Facebook groups that we have so we can help you out there. And thank you for watching. I appreciate it. And let me know what you think in the comments. Like this video, subscribe to my channel. Again, if you're looking for help scaling your e-commerce business or putting the infrastructure of the ad accounts in place so you do not depend on banned ad accounts or face feedback score and stuff like that, then there should be a link below. Apply for a call with our team and we'll see how we can help you out to scale your business to the next level. So this is it, guys. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.
Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're looking for help in scaling your e-commerce business or dropshipping business, then just go to ecommercescalingsecrets.com, ecommercescalingsecrets.com, and fill out the form, and we'll see exactly how we can help you to take your business to the next level. Thank you.